Sairam, and welcome children to this week's Children's Hour. Phew, a week does go super fast, doesn't it? It's almost like we met you just yesterday. But it's really, really nice to be back with all of you children.
Sairam children. Yes, it is indeed nice to be with all of you again. We had a grand and beautiful week here in Prashanti. Like we described last week, the whole ashram was so colorful.
Colorful? Okay. Tell me, Ganesh, what is your favorite color?
Mine? It's blue. And what about yours, Prem?
Blue it is. Because I like blue too. But I would say blue most of the time. Because we like different colors for different things, right?
Oh, yes, of course. I may like, I think red for my t-shirt, but like gray for my car.
And I like red bicycles, but definitely not red walls for my home.
So many colors, and each of us like different colors, and for different objects, different colors.
That's true. But thank God, we have so many colors to choose from.
Yes. We must thank God for making our world so colorful. Just take a walk in a park and see the variety of colors. The lush green on the lawn, the bright blue of the sky, the rich red of the roses, the brown barks of the tree. Oh.
Or if you live near a coast, take a walk during sunset in the beach. What lovely colors you see. The golden beach sand, the different shades of blue of the sea, the pure white of the foam, the crimson red sun, and the splendid orange sky.
But then, when there are so many colors to choose from, why are we wearing white, Prem?
That's because Swami likes it when we wear white, right?
Mm.
In fact, Swami also gave us white clothes. So to please Swami, we always wore white when we went before Him, isn't it?
That's correct, Prem. But why did Swami like white?
Why didn't you tell us, Ganesh?
Sure. Okay, I'll tell you. If you are wearing a dark blue shirt,
okay,
and let us say you have soiled your shirt, maybe by spilling some ink on it, will you be able to notice it?
No.
If it was a white shirt, then?
Oh, that would be a real mess.
Absolutely. That's because white is a pure color. Even the slightest dirt on white is easily noticed. So, white is a sign of purity.
Oh, so that's why Swami always gave us white, is it? Swami was reminding us to be pure like white. And Swami says, purity leads to...
I'll tell it, divinity. And having said that, Swami has created so many colors for us to see and enjoy.
Yes, God is indeed the best artist in the whole world. The world is beautiful for sure. But God has also given us a gift through which we enjoy all these colors in the world.
So, shouldn't we learn about this precious gift? Of course we should. So, to tell us about this gift and to explain how it works, we have, like the last week, Dr. Lata Shree from the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital.
Listen carefully, Ganesh. At the end of it, I will ask you a question.
Oh, I have to be careful.
Let me see if you can answer.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll also ask you a question then. But let us listen to the doctor at first.
Offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Children, loving Sairam to all of you. First of all, I will take you through a quick recap of what we saw last week about the human body. The body is a very precious, wonderful, unique and one-time gift from the Lord, and it has to be well cared for. And one of the lessons we derive from the body, as we saw last week, is Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, which means this entire earth is one big family. We are all the members of this family, and we have to be ever ready to help our fellow beings. Children, today we will see some interesting facts about those organs of the body which connect the outside world with the inner world. Can you tell me what these parts of the body are? Can you take a guess, children? Yes, they are the five sense organs. They are called the Panchagnanendriyas. These are the parts which take the inputs from outside world to the brain, where these inputs are interpreted. That is why they are called the five senses of perception. And what are these inputs that are carried by these sensors to the brain? Can you all name the five inputs that these organs take to the brain? These inputs are, the first one is rupa, the form. All that we see through the eyes is carried to the brain through the eyes. The second one is shabda, the sound. Whatever we hear through the ears. And then comes gandha, the sense of smell that is perceived through the nose. Then there is rasa, the sense of taste which is perceived by the tongue. And finally, we have the sense of touch, sparsha, which is transmitted to the brain through the skin. Out of these five senses, children, two senses have a shutter mechanism, which means these parts of the body can be opened and closed. Can you name these two senses? Yes, these are the two eyes and the tongue. And why is it that only these two organs have the closing mechanism and why not the other three? Can you tell me the reason? It is because whatever we see through the eyes or whatever we speak and whatever we eat through the tongue can be well controlled by us. So what are we supposed to speak? What are we supposed to see? Swami says, see no evil, see what is good. Same way, speak no evil, speak what is good. Can you tell me, out of the five senses, the majority of the input to the brain is carried by which sense organ? Can you name this organ, dear children? They are the two eyes. It is documented about 80% of the inputs to the brain is through the eyes. That is because the eyes are always open, they are alert and they are always active, except when we are sleeping and of course when we are meditating. It is very difficult to keep the eyes closed, especially when someone tells you to do so. Children, today we'll discuss in brief the structure and function of the eye. The eyes are very delicate structures. That's why God has put them in very strong bony sockets within the skull. The skull is the face and the head bone. The eye has a rounded structure called the eyeball. The eyeball has a white part which you can see within the eye, and this white portion is called the sclera, which protects the inner, tiny, very important parts of the eye. The eye has two eyelids, and these eyelids help to protect the eyes. Swami often says, just as the eyelids protect the eye, I will take care of you. That means the eyelids are so important for the eye. When you are suddenly exposed to some bright, intense light which could injure your eyes, the eyelids automatically close and the eyes are protected. Similarly, when there is dusty wind blowing, when dust particles could easily enter into the eyes and irritate the eyes are protected by the eyelids which close on their own. And there is one more protective mechanism within the eye, and can you guess what it is? What happens, children, when you are upset or when you feel sad? You start crying, isn't it? So, the tears are the ones which will wash away the dust particles, the small splinters and small foreign bodies which could get into the eye and which could injure the eyes. The eye can be best explained by the analogy of a camera. The eye is a non-stop video camera which goes on recording whatever the eyes see. Just like any camera, the eye also has the front portion which focuses the light on the eye. And this part is the one which is round in shape and which is black in color, which you see in the middle of the eye. When you widely open the eyes, you can easily see this portion. And this is called the cornea, which is a transparent structure. The eye then has a small hole through which the light rays enter into the eye. And this is called the pupil. This is like the aperture that is present in a camera, which focuses the light into the eye. See, some of us have dark black eyes. Some people have brown eyes. And if you see people from northern part of Europe, you can see they have light eyes like blue eyes, green eyes, cat eyes, and so on. Have you ever thought, why is this change in color from person to person or from people of one place to another place? You all may ask, why can't we all have one common uniform color? Because you may feel some people will look more beautiful when the eyes are jet black or when the eyes are blue. And some teenagers and film stars even want to wear colored contact lenses to look more beautiful. But God is very wise. He has not given the same color to all the people. Why is this so? There is a specific reason for this. The structure that gives color to the eye is called the iris. In hotter countries like ours, where the sun is very bright and intense, these rays could damage the eye. That's why the iris gives a darker shade like black or brown to the eye. In cooler countries and also very cold countries, the eye may not need this kind of protection because the sun is not so bright. So those people tend to have lighter shades of eye color. Now we come to the most important part of the camera. What is this part? Can you tell me, children? Yes, this is the lens of the eye. But the human lens is so powerful, even the most expensive, the latest camera with the highest megapixel available in market cannot match the efficiency of the human lens. And that too, this lens is given to us by God absolutely free of cost, just like the schools, colleges and hospitals which are started and run by Bhagwan. Yes, children, only God can do such wonders. Now coming back to the topic, what is it that makes this lens so efficient, you may ask me? The reason is, the lens can alter its shape on its own very easily so that the eyes can focus on some objects which are very far and also on those objects which are very near to the eye very comfortably. Which means to say, we are able to see the stars in the sky which is very far, And at the same time, or the next moment, we can focus our attention very easily on the tip of the nose, which is very close to the eye. So the range of vision that is covered by the eye is unmatched, which no man-made camera can give. And it happens automatically, spontaneously by the eye, without any effort, because of the powerful lens. And this is called the power of accommodation of the eye. And those of you who would have tried your hands in photography will know, you have to put in some efforts to adjust the lens and to focus properly on the things which you want to photograph. Whereas the human lens doesn't need any of these adjustments. And that is why I said, no man-made camera can match this human camera. So the images that are clicked by the lens of the eye, they fall on the back of the eye, which is called the retina. This retina can be compared to the film roll of olden cameras. And in the newer digital cameras, we can say this retina is like the memory of the camera. These images are then converted into electrical signals and are carried to the brain through the optic nerve. So children, you can all imagine, without these eyes, we all would be in darkness. We wouldn't be able to appreciate the goodness, the beauty of nature around. And why are eyes given to us? There is a very sacred purpose. These eyes are given to us by God so that we can see those things which inspire us, which motivate us. We can see those things which touch our heart so that we become better human beings. It is said, darshanam papanashanam, which means when we have the darshan of God in human form, it washes away all our sins. And how do we have this darshan? It is only through this precious eyes. And this is the highest purpose of our human eyes. Before I conclude, children, I will leave you with this beautiful message of Swami: be good, see good, and do good. This is the way to God. We shall know more about the eyes next week, and we'll continue the same topic next week also. Jai Sai Ram.
Wow, that was an interesting song. And before that, that was really interesting what the doctor said. Okay, Ganesh, are you ready for my question now?
Yes, of course, I am ready. Come on, shoot.
There are two ways the eye protects itself, okay? One is when the eyelid closes. What is the other way?
Before I answer you, I'll ask my question. In the human body, how many senses are there in all?
Okay, instead of me answering your question and you answering mine, why not we allow the children to answer both?
That's a very good idea, Prem. Let's see, children, if you can answer these questions. The first question is, there are two ways the eyelid protects itself. One is when the eyelid closes. What is the other way? Once again, one is when the eyelid closes. What is the other way? And the second question, the eye is one of the sense organs. How many sense organs are there in a human body? Once again, I repeat the second question. The eye is one of the sense organs. How many sense organs are there in a human body?
I know some of you are shouting out the answers right now, but wait, we cannot hear you. Okay, what should you do? You send us an email with the answers to. The email address is listener@radiosci.org.
Okay, shall we move on with the program now? Shall we see who is Jagannath Rao sir going to talk today?
Sure. I'm eager to see who the guest is today. So over now to Jagannath Rao sir with his little guest of the day.
What is your name?
My name is K. Pujita.
Where are you studying?
I'm studying in Srimati Ishwar Amma English Medium School.
In what class?
I'm studying in 4th class.
Do you remember any grand function that was held recently in Puttaparthi?
It was Swami's birthday. It was on 23rd November. I saw all programs in Mandir, beautiful decorations, photographs of Swami's and all lightings. I saw even roads were clean from Gokulam to Mandir gate.
Where is Gokulam?
Near Puttaparthi. When we come first from Gokulam, we enter Puttaparthi. I saw in Mandir that they were giving free food. I saw Swami's Rathotsavam coming from Ganesh temple to Mandir and Mandir entering inside and gone to Kulwant Hall.
Have you seen the functions in Kulwant Hall?
Yeah, I saw Yagnam going on there on Dasara's days.
Dasara's days. This time, during the birthday, have you seen the functions in Kulwant Hall? Any dramas?
I saw when Swami's birthday, some programs in Kulwant Hall.
How could you see? Where did you sit?
From big screen, I saw Swami, when Swami's birthday was going on, I saw Swami singing one bhajan, Prema Mudita Manasu Kaho, and Swami was singing with love.
Have you seen Jhula function?
Yeah, I saw. Four members were pushing front, and one uncle was singing.
And where was Swami sitting?
Swami was sitting in that jula. I saw Swami was swinging on that.
Where was the food distributed? You remember?
It was distributed near North Canteen. That all people were crowding with big line. There were hundreds of sevadal distributing all prasadams.
Could you get prasadam?
Yeah, I got pulihora, I got curd rice, I got laddu, potato curry I got. I got so many things, but it was so nice taste.
Who came with you?
With me, my mother, my brother, my sister and...
Have you seen Puttaparthi roads? How were they?
Yeah, I saw it was so clean and all people were buying so many things and they were all crush crowd. So I saw them and I was very beautiful that they came from far away and came here for seeing Swami.
Free distribution of food even on the roads. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw. Even they were eating on the road, they didn't throw one bit of paper and throw it in the dustbin. All road was clean. All ground was clean.
Have you seen the drama program on 22nd?
Yeah, I saw.
Where could you see it?
I saw in Kulwant Hall near Swami.
Your family also came for seeing the function?
Yeah, they saw.
What is your brother doing? Is he elder to you or younger to you?
Younger
by how many years?
7 years old.
He is 7 years old. Where he is studying?
Srimati Ishwaramma English Medium School.
Is it? Therefore, both of you are studying in Ishwaramma School.
Yeah, but one more sister is there for me. She is also studying in Srimati Ishwaramma.
What is her name?
Her name is Salila. She is studying in 8th standard.
She is elder to you?
Yeah.
What about your brother?
My brother is 1st standard.
Okay. When is your birthday?
My birthday is on January 14th.
How you celebrate your birthday?
I celebrated so grand.
How? Tell me.
By calling all friends and people.
When is their birthday?
My brother's birthday is on October 11th. My sister's is on March 26th.
Where do you reside?
Okay.
Where is your house?
My house is in Samadhi Road, First Cross.
Have you gone anywhere during vacations?
No, I didn't go.
Have you not seen any other place than Puttaparthi?
I saw.
Which one?
I saw Anantapur.
Then?
Village Somandapalli.
Whose village is it?
My grandmother's and all aunts will live there.
Okay. How do you spend in villages when you go there?
I play and...
Which is the game you like most?
I like Coco. Coco I like.
Coco? But Coco needs a number of children to play. How many?
So many are there to play.
Is it?
I, my sister, my brother, my aunt's sons too, another aunt's too. We all will play together.
Therefore, you enjoy your vacations nicely.
Yeah.
You want to go to your grandmother's house only?
No.
You see, there was a heavy rush during birthday celebrations. Have you seen any vehicles carrying old people?
I saw in Kulwant Hall outside. I saw them one Sevadal carrying in one vehicle, in an electric vehicle. And 8 people will fit in that. I saw some old people going in that.
Where were they taken in that vehicle?
From Ganesh Gate to all sheds.
Do you know, during Swami's birthday celebrations, Ladies' Day is also celebrated. When is it?
It is on November
19th. Have you attended that function?
Yeah, I attended. I saw primary school doing drama and dance hall. I saw them, at last I saw them, special electric diyas. They were catching and sitting there.
They are holding and sitting there. What was the drama, any idea? You remember?
They did dance. And...
What was the name of the drama?
Antaranga Sai.
Okay, thank you for participating in our program. Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
Oh, it's always nice to listen to you children speak, instead of us going on and on. But till the next child comes along, you have to listen to us. You know, Prem, we started talking about colors. That reminded me of something very colorful and very, very beautiful. Let's see if you can guess. It's a multicolored and we see it in the sky.
Aha! I know what it is. It is a rainbow.
Big O! You're right. I always like to see a rainbow. When I was a kid and even now too.
Oh, everyone loves a rainbow. In fact, when you say I like the rainbow now and when I was small, I was reminded of a beautiful poem which I read when I was at school.
Please do tell it.
It goes, "My heart leaps up when I behold a rainbow in the sky. So was it when my life began. So is it now I am a man. So be it when I shall grow old. Of course, these are few lines from that poem. Do you know whose it is?
Yes, of course. It is by William Wordsworth. I am sure, children, you would have heard of him. If you haven't, you sure will sometime in school. But there is one more line in the poem that this verse is famous for. The line is, the child is father of the man.
The child is father of the man. I think we should explain that a bit. You know, children, what is the meaning of this line? It means, what you are when you grow up, when you become men and women or adults, as we call them, depends on what you learn when you are a little child, that is, when you are of your age. These years when you are children are very, very precious.
Of course. So, you have to learn good things when you are young. But how should you learn? That's interesting. I think you will know if you listen to this story. This is about a little boy who wanted to learn music. Listen carefully, children. You will then shine like the rainbow we just spoke about.
Sairam children, today I shall tell you a story about a boy, small like you all, who loved music. He had a very good voice and he wanted to become a great singer. So one day, the boy visited a renowned music teacher. Children, the meaning of renown is famous, being well known. So this boy expressed his desire to the teacher, saying, Guruji, I wish to become a great singer. Please, can you be my teacher? Now this teacher conducted a preliminary test, something like an entrance exam to gauge his talent. And the teacher was very impressed. He accepted the boy as his student. The boy too was very happy. He asked the teacher, Guruji, how long will I take to become a great singer? The teacher replied, Well, that depends on how much hard work and sincere efforts you put in. But, son, remember, it's not going to be a short time, because singing is about learning more and more each day, even as long as you live. When the boy heard this, he thought to himself, You will see, Guruji, I will learn everything so quickly, you will be surprised, and I am determined. Now the boy got serious about his training. He was a good student like you all, so learnt well. Several months rolled by. Now the boy was getting impatient. He asked the teacher again, Guruji, how soon can I become a great singer? The teacher again replied, Son, do you see that rose on the bush outside? The boy said, Yes, Guruji, I see it. The teacher explained further, The number of days it takes to unfold its petals to become a full-bloomed rose, that will be the number of years you will take to become a great singer. That evening, our little friend, the boy, went out quietly and sat by the rose bush. He held the rosebud slowly and carefully, tried to open up the outer petals one by one. But however careful he was, some of the petals got torn, others fell off. Even the innermost petals that were just beginning to form got crushed. The next morning, during the class, the teacher noticed the plight of the rosebud. It no more looked like one now. He understood what had happened. He called the boy to the window and said, "Look, dear son, this bud, it seems, was in a hurry to bloom. It wanted to become a full-bloomed rose overnight. Now, just look at its state. It shall never be a perfect rose again. Had the bud grown naturally, it would have been beautiful at each stage of its life. It would have spread fragrance all around. Its beauty would have lent splendor to our garden. But perhaps the bud was in too much of a hurry." By now, the boy was in tears. He had realized his mistake and cried out, "Guruji, it's not the bud's fault. I forced it open. I made the mistake of meddling into the journey of the blooming bud. I have realized my impatience. Guruji, now I promise, I will let you shape me as you wish. Please, help me unfold petal by petal at a pace I am capable of and of what you know best." So this way, our little friend continued his beautiful journey of learning music. From his story, we all have learnt that hurry becomes a cause of worry. Now imagine, I have given you a chocolate ice cream. Would you like to gulp it down and feel happy that you could have the ice cream? Or would you enjoy every lick of that ice cream as it melts in your mouth? Of course, you will enjoy every lick of the ice cream. Similarly, learning too is a beautiful process, whether it is learning a new subject, a new game, or solving a math problem. Remember, the process of learning, every step is as important as the result. So children, hope you all like the story. Side on, children.
We all have learned a very important lesson today, haven't we?
Yes.
Just like how we need eyes to see, to learn anything new, we must have what is called patience.
Patience. It means being calm and being ready to wait till slowly we learn and grow. No. Just like we said in the beginning, purity takes you to God. Patience is also something which is very, very dear to God and will take you close to Him.
Talking of doing things slowly, Ganesh, do you remember how Swami used to come for darshan? When Swami used to walk and come, and when, just like the music which is going on in the background,
yes,
they used to play a soft, melodious darshan music, and Swami would come walking.
Yes. Starting from the lady's side, Swami would glide so swiftly, giving joy to each one of us sitting there in the Saikulwanth hall.
Absolutely. You know, when Swami would stop and talk to somebody, Swami would have all the time in the world, isn't it? So many people were waiting for Swami, but Swami would never hurry up.
Yes. He had time for each and every one of us. And I always wondered how Swami spent so much time with each one of us.
Absolutely. Because that is very important. When you do important things, you have to do them slowly. That is why learning has to be done slowly and you should give yourself time. Have you heard of a very famous musician who passed away a couple of years back? His name was Pandit Ravi Shankar.
Yes, very much.
You know, he used to go to his guru when he was a very little boy. And till maybe he was 60 or 70 years old, he used to practice close to 14 hours every day.
So much of perseverance.
Absolutely. Even when he was a great maestro, he used to practice so much. Because learning is a process which happens all through our life.
You know what, Prem? Whenever we used to perform any program before Swami, Swami would surely at the end of it, would say it was a good program. But with a very important clause after the program, he would always say to us, practice well, practice well, practice well.
Very true. In fact, Swami used to say, practice, practice, practice. Everything is practice. Eating is practice. Talking is practice.
Walking is practice.
Walking is practice. Because we have learnt everything only through practice.
And it was so beautiful in every darshan. Swami used to ask the same question to a PhD boy and also go to the little primary school kid and ask him the same question. Did you have breakfast? What did you have for breakfast? And such beautiful, loving pats on the cheeks. I just still remember all those beautiful moments.
Yes, children. So when we learn, when we want to pick up something new, when we want to acquire a talent, it can be music, it can be dance, it could be any game. You could want to be a cricketer, or you want to learn an instrument, or you might even want to learn how to use a computer. Whatever it is, you have to do it slowly, because when you do it slowly, you learn firmly. So, children, we've learned a lot of lessons today, isn't it? Hope you enjoyed this week's Children's Hour. But before we leave, do you remember the questions we asked you?
Yeah, I do remember, Prem, because I was the one who asked them.
Okay.
So, children, ready for the two questions? The first question is, there are two ways the eye protects itself. One is when the eye closes. What is the other way? And the second question is, the eye is one of the sense organs. How many sense organs are there in a human body?
And even as we are asking you questions, let me add one more to the questions which have already been asked. Swami says that we should have three P's. Swami says we should have three P's. Have you heard of that? Three P's. We mentioned two of them today. What are they? They are purity and patience. Do any of you know what is the third P?
If you know the answers to these questions, all of them or some of them, write to us your answers. And don't forget to mention your good name, age and place where you live. Okay, children, it was wonderful spending time this evening with all of you. Till we meet you next week, be good children and make your parents and Swami happy. Sai Ram, and see you next week.
Yes, children, we'll see you next week, same time, which is 7:30 on a Thursday evening. And before that, don't forget to send us your the answers to the questions we asked. And be ready for more questions next week too. Okay, children, Sai Ram and good night from Prashanthi Nilayam.
Devotion to thee.